Acts chapter number 17. And again, we are wrapping up our missions emphasis month. This is a month we've set aside here at the church to focus on worldwide missions and what we can maybe better do in, as a church and individually to reach people for Jesus Christ, not just in our Jerusalem, but in our Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's word, Acts chapter 17 and verse number 15. Acts 17:15. I love verse 16. Pay attention to it when we get there. Verse 15. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd meet with us tonight in a special way. Lord, thank you for the blessings of today. I want to pray for Brother Dallas, Lord. I want to pray for Sister Maxine and the family. Bless them even now, Lord. May they feel our prayers and our love. And thank you for the miracle of his life, the miracle of his conversion. Lord, the testimony that him and Sister Maxine have had since they've gotten saved, Lord, for you. And bless the family in a sweet way now. Give us strength tonight, Lord. Speak to us, please. Impart to us from the Bible what we need tonight. Challenge us. Help us, Lord, to lift up our eyes to the fields and see how white they are to harvest. And then stir us, Lord, as you stirred the Apostle Paul. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to preach on this subject, a missionary needs a mission field. A missionary needs a mission field. Now let me review a little bit of what we've covered on Sunday nights. And by the way, I want to thank God for the missionaries that have taken out of their schedule to come and visit with us in this past month. Hasn't it been a blessing? Brother DeLong, my co-Chicago Bear fan, happened to be here on Super Bowl Sunday, and we both mourned together. He just called and left a message while I was out of town, said, "Brother Jerry, it's Brother DeLong, go Bears." And, "Are you okay, brother? I'm just checking on you, and I want to see if you recovered yet from that, and I'll call you later." And so anyway, Brother DeLong was sent to try to cheer your preacher during a very, very difficult time in my life. And so he was a blessing. And then Brother Tillman came, and what a blessing Brother Tillman was. Well, I'll talk to you a little bit about that, mentioned him tonight in the message, but can you imagine a man who has been in ministry for 39 years, 29 years ago, God broke his heart to go over to Thailand and do nothing but work in leper colonies, winning lepers to Jesus Christ. What an amazing, amazing person. And then, of course, Brother Johnson last week, as he's preparing. This is not a novice. This is not someone, even though he's a young man, who's unfamiliar with the mission field, was raised on the mission field, and now preparing to go back and be a missionary to Brazil. Let me just say this. On my opportunities to preach on Sunday night, the first week I preached a message called The Making of a Missionary. Think about this, The Making of a Missionary. What is the ingredients that produces a missionary? Feet that are willing to go, a heart that is willing to weep, and a mouth that is willing to speak. And I challenged us that we all need to consider the fact that God wants us to be missionaries. I'm not saying that God wants all of us to put a for sale sign in front of our house, pack our things, and go to a foreign country. Remember, the mission field starts right outside the back door there. Jacksonville's a mission field. Midland's a mission field. Vicksburg's a mission field. People need Jesus all over this area, and we need to have a missionary mentality. On the second Sunday night, I preached a message on how to keep your children off the mission field and tried to highlight some mistakes that I think that we are making sometimes in our, even in our good fundamental churches, that if we're not careful will influence our children away from God's service and for wanting to serve God with their life. Last week, I preached on the importance of a missions heritage and challenged us and did a little history lesson about Blessed Hope Baptist Church and challenged us to appreciate the mission's heritage that we have, to protect it, and then, of course, to expand it. Now, I want to talk to you tonight on this subject. A missionary needs a mission field. If you have taken the messages to heart, and you've decided that you want to get on board as far as being a missionary yourself. And again, remember, all missionary efforts are a missionary work, whether they are in, I've said this, but whether they're in Clay County or South Dakota or South Korea, it's all missionary work. Now, I want to challenge you. Are you truly saved? Do you carry in your heart a burden to see other people saved? Well, all around you is a mission field. And I want you to be a missionary. I want to re-enlist at being a missionary. I want to impact people for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to help somebody. I want to be a blessing to somebody. I want to lift up somebody. Listen, there's hurting people all over this area, and they don't know the answer. They're confused. They're trying to find their way. They just need the Lord. They need a church family. They need somebody to come along beside them and be their friend. They need somebody that will point them to Jesus Christ. So are you on board, and do you want to become a missionary? Do you want to become a missionary? Well, I think many of you have expressed to me that you do. Now, let me just preach on this subject tonight. A missionary needs a mission field. A missionary needs a mission field. I've got a copy of our Blessed Hope Baptist Church prayer bulletin in my hand. On the front of that, we have our missionary prayer list. Now, each of these people that we are supporting to go to the mission field at some time and point surrendered to be a missionary. Now, think about this. By the way, if you haven't, I'm still after you. I want you to surrender to be a missionary. Some of you aren't shaking your head when I ask if you want to be a missionary, so I'm still after you. I'm still going to try to enlist you. Even tonight, I want you to enlist you. I want you to be a missionary. You say you're trying to send me away. No, I'm trying to send you out. I want you to come back, but I want you to go out, and I want you to be a missionary. Now, if you're going to be a missionary, you need a mission field. Brother Arthur, when he surrendered to be a missionary, the people probably immediately or in the future, one of the first questions that a missionary gets asked is, well, where are you going? What's your field? What country are you going to? What people are you going to? Where is your mission field? Because a missionary needs a mission field. Can you imagine a missionary that traveled the country and said, I'm going to be a missionary, and went to churches and wanted to raise support? And when he got there, he set up a table, and on it's a display, and it's blank. I mean, it has nothing on there. No pictures, no country, no trinkets from that country, no maps of that country. And people would come by and say, so you're a missionary? Oh, yes, I am. And I surrendered to be a missionary. And I told God I was going to be a missionary. Well, where are you going? Don't know. Don't have a mission field. You don't have a mission field? Nope, but I'm a missionary. Well, folks, a missionary needs a mission field. I mean, if you're going to be a missionary, you got to have a mission field. And so, if we're going to be missionaries, then we have to have a mission field. Now, that means if I come up to you and you say, Brother Jerry, I want to get into missionary business. I don't think God's called me to foreign missions, but I want to be in missionary business right here. Then it would be fair of me to ask you, well, what's your mission field? Wouldn't that be a fair question? I mean, what would your display board look like? A lot of people claiming to be missionaries or have a missionary burden or want to be a soul winner, but they don't have a mission field. You need a mission field, and I need a mission field. And so the Arthurs are going to the Azores, the Barths are going to Prague, and the Bissetts are going to Ireland, and the Cooks are in Brazil, and the Fitzsimmons are in Haiti, and the Henrys are in the prisons, and the Carneys are in Mexico. We heard about them tonight by that brother Don Carney, and he a blessing. What a blessing. I think that every night when they're reading the letter, I'm like, man, that's a good man. Or, boy, they're doing a great job. The Himes are in Japan. The Hodges are in America down in the Blue Ridge Mountains. The Hongs are in Australia. What I'm saying is, if your name was mentioned, where's your mission field? Where is your mission field? You see, I want to be a missionary. Then you got to have a mission field. Well, I don't have a mission field. Well, then you're not a missionary. Then this makes sense to you? See, this is elementary. I can't imagine BIMI, a couple going to BIMI, and they show up and they say, we want to apply to join the mission board here, and we want you to join in sending us out. Where are you going? Well, we don't know. Well, when will you know? Sorry. When will you know? And I don't know. I really don't think we need a mission field, but we want to be missionaries. I really don't think it's necessary to have a mission field, but could you be our sending a mission board? They would say, you're crazy. Go away, grow up, find out where you're going, and come back and see us. But until then, you can't be a missionary without a mission field. I want you to be a missionary. I want you to be a missionary. But a missionary isn't just a decision to walk up at an altar and say, yes, Lord, I want to be a missionary, and I want to be a missionary right here in my local church, and then go back and never figure out where your mission field is. Never get a mission field, never have a mission field, never go to a mission field, but claim to be a missionary. Is this making sense to you? You see, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, what we need is missionaries. We need everyone in here to become a missionary, but you need to have a mission field. You need to have a mission field. So number one, decision, point number one tonight, decide to become a missionary. I want you to decide to become a missionary. Number two, find a mission field. Brother Jerry, you got to help me out here. I'm going to help you out. Let me give you some suggestions, all right? Find a mission field. Let me give you some suggestions about some mission fields that need covered right here locally or that you can have an influence in. Let me give you some ideas. I want you to think about this. Do you, here's the question tonight, have a mission field? Do you have a mission field? Now, let me give you some mission fields. Number one, make your family a mission field. Make your family a mission field. Amen. Amen. I think that's very exciting. You want to be a missionary? Let me give you your first mission field. Your family's your first mission field. And what I want you to do is decide that God's called you into the ministry to be a missionary to reach your family for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to imagine the display board that you'd have. You say, Brother Jerry, you don't know my family. You would not want pictures of my family on a display board. God loves your family members. God wants to save your family members. God cares about your family members. And you know what? There's not a better missionary to send to your family than you. So number one, make your family a mission field. Now, I think that means it's going to take some planning. If you're going to be a missionary and you've chosen your mission field, then you know what? You can't just say, okay, I'm a missionary, I got a mission field, and then not do anything about that mission field. You need to do some research. You need to lay out a plan. You need to have a map. You need to have some pictures. You need to begin to pray. And I think I would literally construct a plan. I would construct a list of names. I would construct some pictures to pray over. I would say, who in our family is not saved of yet? And I would target them and say, our family is going to be a missionary to reach other family members and the extended family that I'm a part of, and make that your plan. I watched my mom and dad do this. My mom and dad are first generation Christians. They were both saved out of families where they were the first ones basically to be saved out of those families. Some of you are here are first generation Christians. I'm talking about they were, when they got saved, their moms and dads weren't saved. When they got saved, their brothers and sisters weren't saved. They were saved out of unsaved situations. You know what they did? They turned around and they decided they were going to be a missionary to their own family. Now, I think that that's noble, by the way. In some ways, I think it would be a horrible thing. Don't take this wrong, but I think it would be a horrible thing to have Pastor Ross come to Jacksonville and decide he's going to be a missionary to Jacksonville, but then fail to be a missionary to his own family. I think it would have been wrong for Mom to say, I'm going to be a missionary to this community, but I'm not going to be a missionary to my own family. Listen, you love your family like nobody loves your family, and you can reach your family like nobody can reach your family. And so I challenge you, number one, to have as a mission field your family as a mission field. Number two, all right, I want you to treat your workplace as a mission field. Now, I mentioned this briefly the other day, but I mean this. You say, Brother Jerry, what's my mission field? I'm not sure I have a mission field. Okay, number one, your family's your mission field. Number two, your place of employment is your mission field. I believe this with all my heart. I don't think God does anything by accident. I don't think you have the job that you have by accident. Well, I just fill out a bunch of applications and I happen to get hired at this certain place. That's not a just happen. That's a direct hand of God puts you at that place. You know why? Because somebody there you need to reach, and a bunch of somebodies you need to reach. I have viewed my places of employment through the years as I worked secular work as mission fields. I mean that. I have always viewed them as mission fields. There's men in this room that over the years have worked different places. And you know what? In their place of employment, they said, I'm just not here to make a dollar. I'm not just here to make a living. God put me here on purpose, and there's men and ladies all around me, and I'm going to do my best to influence them for the Lord Jesus Christ. So treat your workplace as a mission field. When I got hired in Bible college, United Parcel Service, I did this with every dock that I worked on. I worked at Jefferson Street for 2 years, and I got transferred over to Bedford Park. I worked on two different docks there. But I decided that I was on that dock for a reason. God put me on that place. All the places I could be in this huge plant, I was on this particular dock. That supervisor was given to me for a certain reason. The men that worked with me were there for a certain reason. And I was going to be a missionary to United Parcel Service. And for 6 years, I was a missionary to the United Parcel Service. And I witnessed to every single guy that worked on my dock. I made sure that I got the gospel to every single one of them. I got to see men saved that I worked with every single night. You say, did you see them all saved? Nope, I didn't see them all saved. And a lot of them got upset or mad at me when I tried to witness to them. But you know what? Sorry, I'm a missionary, and that's what missionaries do. We give the gospel out. And so be a missionary to your workplace. I remember my manager who used to love to torment me because I was a Christian. He said to me, you know what? You just want to preach here. You want to preach here all the time. I said, you got any complaints about my work? No, you're one of the best workers we have. I said, well, then I'll keep preaching. He told me one night, he said he thought he'd call my bluff. So he gathered the guys. I didn't know this was going to happen. Right before work one night, he gathered the guys together. And the man, I walk in, I punch the clock, I go over to where we have our opening meeting. He's got everybody on the dock gathered in one place. And he said, I just got you here a little bit. I wanted to get you here a few minutes earlier because the Reverend Jerry Ross is going to preach to you for a few minutes. And I just walked in on this. And I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. And all the guys, oh no, and all this stuff, you know. And I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. I said, okay, here we go. And I went to preaching to him. And after about 2 minutes, he cut me off, you know. I was right there where I was about to give the invitation. We were about to have revival, you know. Hey, you know what? You tell me I can, I'm going to. Share the gospel with your workplace. Get the gospel to your workplace. Oh, say, Brother Jerry, the people that I work with, they're hard and they won't care. Let me tell you something. You don't know what's going on in their lives. You don't know what's in their hearts. I remember I witnessed to one of the guys in my truck, and there was a new guy that got hired on that we were training to, and I wasn't even really witnessing to the new guy, but I was trying to witness this other guy, and man, he didn't want anything to do with it. And I don't mean be obnoxious, by the way. I don't mean be unkind, by the way. But I mean give the gospel out. Tell people you care. And after we had the entire night was over, I punched out, and I went to the break room. And I was waiting for the other guys that carpooled with me to go home with me. And there was a young man by name of Chester, and I can't remember his last name now. But he was the new guy, and he had been working in the same area. And he came to the break room, and he found me afterwards. And he said, hey, can I talk to you? What's your name? He said, your name's Jerry. And I said, yeah, you're new here. What's your name? And he said, you know, I heard you talking to that other guy out there about the Lord. And he said, you know, my grandma, she's dying. I said, she is. He said, yeah, you know, we're pretty close, and she's always wanted me to get saved, and I don't never know what she's talking about, and I heard you talking about it. Could you tell me what she was talking about? And I said, you better believe it. And we sat down there, and I got to lead Chester to the Lord. And you know what? He only worked and trained on our dock for a couple weeks, then they moved him to another part of the plant, and I hardly ever saw him after that. But you know what? I think he's going to be in heaven. You know why? Because the workplace ought to be a mission field. So treat it like that. Number three, let's move on. Why don't you do this? Consider this. Claim a portion of our Jerusalem in that circle map. Claim a portion of our Jerusalem and make it your mission field. Now, I introduced this thought the very first night, and I'm going to repeat it again, and then we're going to develop it during the month of March. But I'm really hoping that some of you will decide that part of that map out there that's our Jerusalem, that part of that map is going to become your mission field. I think it's very profitable and very wise. And I think it's a sign. I think God is a God of order. And I think if you're going to, by the way, I'm a map freak. I am. I love maps. I think we ought to plan an assault on this area with the gospel like a military general would plan an assault on to take over a country. I mean, I believe that. I mean, let's systematically, on purpose, get the gospel to every person we possibly can. So why don't you just decide that you're going to get burdened about an area and take a township and just reach it for the Lord Jesus Christ? You say in 2007, Brother Jerry, I'll take Lewis Township, I'll take Wright Township, I'll take Stockton Township,
And I'm going to, me and my family are going to pray over it. It is going to be our mission field. We're going to deliver the gospel to every door. Now, here's some things to think about. You take that on as a project. You get a map of that township. You hang it everywhere in your house. You take it out at night. Pull it out of your Bible that you use for devotions in the morning. Take it out at night and lay it on your bed and pray over it. Begin to go at it like I'm talking about, like the Bissets go after Ireland. I'm talking about like the Carneys go after Mexico. I'm talking about how the Cooks go after Brazil. I'm talking about how the Fitzsimmons go after Haiti. Why don't you get a mission field? And that ought to be on your display board. Here's your display board. What? You're a missionary. Yes, I am. Who are you a missionary to? This is my unsaved family members. I'm a missionary to them. Who are you a missionary to? This is the place I work, and here's the guys that I work with. I'm a missionary to them. Who are you a missionary to? In my local church, we have a Jerusalem that's been set out and circled out by our pastor. And you know what? In 2007, I'm a missionary to Wright Township. And I'm going to give the gospel out, and I'm going to reach the people. And listen, not only are you going to reach them, but you know what? You might be able, if you feel capable of doing this, you are an experienced soul winner, and you take one of these townships, you could also look around the church at somebody that wants to be trained and doesn't have the confidence yet to take one, and take them with you and train a soul winner while you're at it. And then if you'll do what I said, and you'll say, sometime in 2007, out of this township that I've adopted, I'm going to ask God to give us one solid family out of this township. And you listen, this is how a missionary conducts themselves. This is how a missionary does it. They don't go to Brazil, South America, and reach the entire country. They're not a missionary to Brazil. We say that, but they're not. They're a missionary to literally a neighborhood in one city or a village or some villages in one city. And they say, this is where God sent me. I'm going to get to know the people. I'm going to go visit them. I'm going to go talk to them. I'm going to get to know them. I'm going to give the gospel to them. I'm going to do everything I can to reach them. And that's what a missionary does. If they can do it over there, why can't we do it here? What's the difference, you see? Oh, but we pay people to do that for us. No, we don't. That didn't get us off the hook. We're supposed to do that. Remember, we're going to be a missionary. I want you to consider doing that. And I want you to think about it. And make that maybe what the Lord would have you to do. Let me give you another one. Number four. These are very practical things. Treat your bus route as a mission field. Treat your bus route as a mission field. Now, listen to me. All of you that are in the bus ministry, thank you, thank you, thank you. Our pastor did a very wise thing, and when he constructed our bus routes, he divided the bus routes into definite sections. Every bus route's assigned a town or towns that they are to reach, and they are to try to reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what if you just got a whole fresh approach to that and decided, I'm not called to Linton just to go visit on Saturday 10 families and see if they're coming and go pick them up if they decide to come, but I am to reach the entire city for Jesus Christ. I am to reach every child and every young person to Jesus Christ. And you decide to get burdened over that. Say, oh, Brother Jerry, that's too big. What's too big? Anything too big for God? What do you mean it's too big? Well, I don't have time for that. Do you have some workers? By the way, I believe this. I think even workers ought to be responsible. Workers ought to have a mission field. Let me just give you bus captains something, and if you're not doing this, you ought to really consider doing it. Say, Brother Jerry, we're all lame and we're not full-time. I understand that, but let me tell you something. Everybody needs to have an area they feel responsible for. When I was a bus captain, what I would do is I'd take our bus route, and I was the bus captain over the entire bus route. But to give my workers a burden for a particular area so that they had a bus route within a bus route, I'd take my workers and I'd say, you two gals, this street, Troy Street and Kedzie Avenue, these two four-block sections are yours. And listen, if people get saved here, it's because you're going to reach them. If they die and go to hell, it's because you're too lazy to reach them. This is your burden. This is what you're supposed to reach. This is your mission field. And I'd take another worker and give them some more streets, another worker. And I'd take some streets that are separate. Then I'd also go back and try to disciple the ones we were reaching in the other areas, being the bus captain. I think everybody ought to have a burden for some place. Some place that when they get on their knees, oh God, help me to reach. Oh God, help me to reach. Oh God, help me to reach. And you're talking about a specific area So bus captains, let me share this with you. Treat your bus route as a mission field. I like a bus captain that drives into a city and parks their car, and before they drive up and down the streets of a city or a town or a burg somewhere that's part of their bus route, and just drives and prays and weeps and claims it for Jesus Christ. And you know what? If they don't want to just reach one or two, they want to reach everybody. So treat your bus route as a mission field. Let me give you another one. Sunday school teachers, treat your Sunday school class, that age group, as a mission field. As a mission field. You say, what do you do at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Well, I teach, you know, the 7th and 8th grade boys. Well, this is the mentality I would have if I was you. I would say, every 7th and 8th grade boy in that circle back there, I'm a missionary to them. And I'm not going to be happy till I reach them all. I want to reach every 7th and 8th grade boy. I want to reach every 7th and 8th grade girl. I want to reach every 3rd and 4th grader. I'm not just going to show up on Sunday and see who everybody else brings, walks in the door. I'm going to reach that age group for Jesus Christ. I love being a Sunday school teacher. You know what? I've taught Sunday school most of my adult life. There's only been a couple years in the last 25 years, there's only been a couple years that I didn't teach Sunday school class. I love to teach Sunday school. When I went to Bible college, one of the first things I did was go to the Sunday school department that I was assigned and begin to torment that guy and beg him to give me a Sunday school class. And we had a bunch of 5th and 6th grade, the whole department was 5th and 6th grade boys, and I can't remember what other age groups were in there. And every week I'd go in the superintendent and I'd say, "Do you need a Sunday school teacher?" "No, we've got Sunday school teachers." "Well, if you need one, tell me." Next week, "Hey, you got a Sunday school class for me? I'd really like to teach Sunday school." "No, I got enough teachers. Just, all right, is anybody sick today? You want me to teach for them?" And I was just like this, you know, thorn in the flesh to this poor guy, but I wanted to teach Sunday school. And I remember one day, and so what was my job? My job was to kind of just be crowd control, you know, hang around if they had a rowdy bunch, stick me in the back of class and, you know, bang some kids' heads together, whatever you had to do to make everybody behave, you know. But one Sunday, I went to this guy, and he was wrestling around with these two heathen kids. I don't know why some kids come to church. They just come to church, I think, just to, you know, you know what I'm saying. They're like missionaries of the devil to church. I don't know. They just come to church. They're wild kids. And so I'm tapping him on the shoulder, and he's trying to wrestle these two boys and make them sit down. If they wouldn't be in the classroom, they finally had some chairs out in the hallway, and they'd make them sit in the chairs in the hallway if they were just disrupting the class. So I'm tapping him, and he's trying to wrestle me. I'm tapping him. What? I said, I want a Sunday school class. And finally he looked at me, and he said, "You want a Sunday school class? You want a Sunday school class?" He grabs me. "Here, that's your Sunday school class." And it was these two bad kids that wouldn't behave in anywhere else. And I said, "Really?" "Yes, they're your students. This is it." I said, "Where's my Sunday school room, don't I?" "You don't get a classroom. This is your classroom in the hallway. That's your kids. There's your Sunday school class." "Really?" "Yeah." "All right, I'm finally a Sunday school teacher." I'm so excited. I put those boys, I said, "Man, this is going to be great. Hey, what's your name? What's your name?" He said, "Now let's arrange the chairs." "Yeah, that'll pretty much do it." And looking around, didn't have a podium. "All right, guys, listen, man, from now on, we're a Sunday school class. I'm your teacher. You're my students." "Man, all right, yeah, oh, this is so good." And I taught the whole Sunday school lesson to them. And at the end of it, I said, listen, guys, you guys have any friends? You got somebody you can bring?" "Yeah, I got some friends." You know, heathen boys always know other heathen boys. That's the one thing about it. So those heathens brought other heathens, and pretty soon, it was about 3 weeks later, we had the whole hallway filled up with all these heathen boys, you know. And I'm preaching to them and carrying on, and I'm making so much noise, and we're laughing, having so much fun. They figured out they got to get me out of the hallway, so he found me a class. And you know what? I got to build that Sunday school class. Listen, what I'm saying is, you can look at that Sunday school as a class, as a job, as a chore, or as a mission field. As a mission field, all right? So let's go on. Number 5, let me say this to our nursing home workers. Treat your nursing home as a mission field. Treat your nursing home as a mission field. Now, folks, what I'm sharing with you, and by the way, I understand. Everything I'm talking about, everything I'm telling you to do, I've done. I know these ministries. I've performed in these ministries. I know the tendencies in these ministries. I'm not upset with you. I in the past have been as guilty as anybody else. But watch me. In a nursing home, folks, listen to me. It's once a month. If we're not careful, it can get very ho-hum. Oh, it's a Sunday. Oh, is this missionary? Is this nursing home? Oh, yeah. I got to throw something together and let's go over there. And, you know, we kind of blow in, blow out. We don't get there early. We don't go around and try to help gather the people. We don't stay afterwards and really talk to the people afterwards. We just kind of come in and whoever's gathered, we do our three quick songs and preach our 10-minute message. And, hey, well, I got to go and shake a few hands and boom, shoot out the door. And that's it for a month. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Is that how a missionary, would you want to support a missionary that was doing that where we sent them? Now, folks, listen to me. The nursing homes we have in this area, now I know we have some bigger ones, but most of the nursing homes we have in this area are not very big nursing homes. I want to send somebody as a missionary, not just as some, I want to send you as a missionary to that nursing home. A missionary. You know what a missionary does? He walks to an area. I want you to walk in front of that building, and I want you to stand before you go in, and I want you to look over it, and I want you to say, God, this is my mission field. And everybody in there, I want to try to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that means it's going to require a little more effort on your part. You ought to know the people in your nursing home. You ought to know who they are. You ought to know who's in every room. If somebody's moved, you ought to know when they get moved. If somebody passes away, you ought to know about it. Well, they don't regularly attend. Well, folks, listen to me. Can you imagine a missionary showing up and saying, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to rent this storefront and I'm going to start a church and whoever comes, that's who I'm going to minister to. No, you've got to go reach them. Go up and down those hallways. Knock on the doors. Introduce yourself. You become, gentlemen, the pastor of that nursing home. You visit those people, you get to know those people, you love those people, you learn those people, you get their prayer requests, you pray with them, you visit with them, you find out if they're saved, you lead them to the Lord if they're not, or give them the gospel if they're not, and you engulf yourself in that nursing home and make it a mission field and not just a once a month run in, run out ministry. And I mean that. We need missionaries going to the nursing homes. We need missionaries going to the nursing homes. So think about that. Ask the Lord, how can I better reach what I'm already assigned to reach? Am I truly going in with a missionary mentality, or am I just kind of flying in and flying out? All right? So treat your nursing home as a mission field. Let me give you another idea. I'm just throwing a bunch of things out here. Number five. Claim a people group as your mission field. Claim a people group as your mission field. Now, we've talked about nursing homes, bus routes, cities, townships. Let me talk to you about a people group. Let me say this. We need people that will be missionaries to specialized people groups. Now, let me just throw some things out at you. Tommy Tillman said this, I'm going to reach lepers for the Lord. It doesn't mean that he didn't witness to other people. But if you ask him, who are you a missionary to? He'll say, I'm a missionary to the lepers. You know why? Because that was the people group he decided that he was going to reach. One of the things you notice in growing churches, one of the things you notice in churches that are having impacts and churches that are growing and expanding, is that people in those churches get burdened over special people groups. Have you ever gone to a church where that had a deaf ministry? How many of you ever been in a church that's had a deaf ministry? I don't know about you, but the only thing about those things that bother me, and they don't bother me, but I've got to watch, is that I can spend more time watching the guy over here signing to the deaf group than I can listening to the preacher. That just fascinates me. I think I'm fascinated by about anything that I don't know how to do, which is a lot of things. And that's one of the things I'm just amazed that they can sit there and communicate with somebody who cannot hear by using their hands and help a preacher reach a group of people that that preacher could not reach, didn't have the time to reach, but God burdens their heart for that group of people. I've been, you know, I had an opportunity to serve in a very large church, very multifaceted ministry church. I went to a church that had an entire ministry just to reach the deaf. My wife, by the way, while she was going through Bible college, worked in the ministry in a Sunday school department that dealt with special needs children, mentally handicapped children. And I would go up there at the top of the stairs in between Sunday school and church or before Sunday school start, not because I had a burden for those children, but just to flirt with my soon-to-be wife when I was dating her. And I'll be honest with you, I would watch her trying to work with those children. I didn't understand those type of kids. I didn't really, be honest with you, have a burden for those type of kids. And listen, you don't have to have a burden for everybody, and everybody's different, but you know, God needs somebody that has a burden for them. And my wife had a burden for them. She used to come to church after Sunday school, and she'd have bite marks on her hands. That always upset me a little bit. I can't imagine working in a Sunday school department where you would leave with bite marks, although probably it happens right here, and I don't know about it, but she got burdened. There was a couple in that church that had a special needs child, got burdened about other special needs children, and an entire ministry was developed because somebody said, "What's your mission field?" Special needs children is my mission field. Now, I could sit here and name other people groups, but you ought to be open to what God might challenge you to do or who God might challenge you to reach. You think about that. There's all kinds of folks that have specific needs, specific groups, and maybe that would be your mission field. Claim a people group as your mission field. Let me give you another one. Claim a town. I already talked about township, but maybe you can claim a town as your mission field. What I'm saying here is if you decide to become a missionary needs to find a mission field, and you ought to prayerfully consider, God, where is my mission field? Where is my mission field? Who is it that I'm supposed to reach? What group of unreached people right here within the circle of the influence of Blessed Hope Baptist Church in our Jerusalem can I say, if somebody stopped me in the church and said, "Where's your mission field?" I'd say, Linton, Indiana is my mission field. The bus ministry is my tool, and that's what I've given myself to reach. Fifth and sixth graders are my mission field. Such and such nursing home, that's my mission field. Find you a mission field and give yourself fully to it. Let me give you a couple other things. Decide to become a missionary. Find a mission field. Number three, pray over that mission field. Pray, 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 pray over that mission field. Folks, this is not just a point that ought to go into a message because, you know what, you always got to preach on prayer. This is an important part of the formula. Pray over your mission field. When I was in Bible college and I was assigned a bus route, oftentimes at the end of my visitation time on Saturday, I would take the last half hour, 45 minutes, and I would walk to every block on that mission field. And it was a mission field to me, every block on that bus route. And I would go into that block somewhere on the sidewalk, and I would kneel down in the middle of that block, not on the road, on the sidewalk, use some smarts, on the sidewalk. And I would say, "Lord, I want to reach this block for you. There's people in this block that's without Jesus Christ. There's so-and-so that lives over there. And Lord, they used to come. They don't come anymore. And God, I can't seem to reach them. You've got to do something in their heart. And Lord, I've tried to get this section over here, and I can't get anybody. I know there's people that needs to be saved, and so-and-so's coming from over here. And Lord, they're being faithful, but I know that Satan's going to try to get them. So Lord, please help me to reach this block more effectively. Help me to know what to say. Lord, please." And then I'd get up, and I'd walk to the next block, and I'd kneel. You say, "Brother Jerry, we're in Linton." All right. Maybe you can't go block to block, but have you ever driven up and down the streets of your mission field? Have anybody ever driven up and down the blocks? Well, Jacksonville's hard. Jacksonville's just tough. Jacksonville, you know what? Breaks through tough, breaks through hard. Prayer breaks through those things. Colmont's hard. Hymera's hard. Shelburne's hard. Everything's hard. It takes a miracle. It takes a divine moving to reach people for Jesus Christ. I think you ought to have a map of your mission. Phil, can you imagine a missionary that came up here and didn't have a map or something to show us where it's at? Well, where's it? I'm not even sure. Do you have a map? Well, I've never seen one. You don't know how to get one of those. You have a mission field and you don't have a map? Have you ever walked up and down the hallways of your nursing home and prayed and touched the doors and said, "God, you've got to give me wisdom"? Listen, what I'm saying is if we want to see missionary results, we got to do what a missionary does. And a missionary has a mission field, and a missionary prays over that mission field. Pray for the lost souls in your mission field. Pray for those that are being reached. Pray that they'll grow in the Lord. Pray for those pearls of great price. Pray that God will bring out of your mission field people that will make a long-standing impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. God, give me preachers out of my Sunday school class. Give me missionaries out of my Sunday school class. Give me full-time workers out of my Sunday school class. Give me faithful laymen out of my Sunday school class. Make it a matter of prayer. Pray, 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 pray. Let me give you the last one. Ask God to give you new ways of reaching your mission field. I want to just challenge you in closing by asking every one of you that already have a mission field. You know what, folks? If we're not careful, we just get in a rut. And we get in a certain way of doing something. How do you reach your bus route? How do you reach your nursing home? What do you do? Well, I visit from this time to this time, and I go do this, and I do this. Wait a minute. Have you ever taken a step back and taken a whole fresh look at this and driven around and say, God, you know what? Thank you for what you're allowing me to do, but there's got to be a way to reach more of them. There's got to be a way of doing it better. There's got to be a way. I was visiting with the girls, and Hannah, before she went to college, was visiting over in Hymera and took Tabitha and visited Hymera. When Hannah started going to college, Cheryl a lot of times goes over there and takes Tabitha, and Tabitha visits Hymera. By the way, my 15-year-old daughter has a mission field. Did you hear me? My 15-year-old daughter has a mission field at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We all ought to have mission fields. There's an area she's burdened about. There's an area she visits. There's regulars that she goes and sees. There's new kids she's trying to reach. She's got a mission field. Are you getting this? Everybody ought to have a mission field. I'm not putting her just up on a pedestal, but everybody ought to have a mission field. And we were driving over there, and she was telling me, Dad, we've got to get new kids, and I don't know exactly how we can do it. We went over there just recently, and they had a... And I don't understand why Hymera has... You know, some of the festivals that they have in this area mystify me. But Hymera has a seafood festival. Why? I mean, why? If you're in Maryland, wouldn't you have a seafood festival? If you're Florida, you can have a seafood festival. Why does Hymera have a seafood? Maybe someone can explain this to me. I don't know why Hymera has a seafood festival. I look, there's no oceans. There's no lakes. I don't understand it, but you know what? Hey, they never asked me. It's up to them. If they want to have a seafood festival, they have a seafood festival. We happened to be over there visiting one day, and she said this to me. She said, oh, no, they're having the festival, the seafood festival this weekend. Man, all the kids go to the festival weekend. And all of a sudden, I told her, I said, hey, wait a minute. You got a seafood festival? When is this? And she told me, well, Dad, it's this weekend. I'm thinking, you know, it's too late to do anything about it now, but let's go look at this thing. We walked through there, and you know what they've got? You got a bunch of booths set up. And they give out kids a bunch of free stuff. And they've got little games and all activities and singing and different things. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, wonder what Blessed Hope Baptist Church could do. Wonder what Brother Abel's bus route could do. Wonder what we could do at this seafood festival. I mean, all the kids come to one spot in all of Hymera for the seafood festival. Instead of us trying to find them, maybe we... Are you listening to me? I'm just saying sometimes, folks, we need to think outside the box. I mean, if what you're doing is not working, then think of what... Ask God to give you ideas that'll work. I mean, start getting a burdens. Listen, let's stretch the boundaries. Why not try something radical? Why not try something new? Well, it probably won't work. Well, it might. I mean, who knows? What I'm saying is, whatever you're doing... You say, well, I'm seeing this much success by doing what I'm doing. Well, what can you do to see this much success? I'm reaching this number of people. What do you need to do to reach this number of people? I think every... And that, by the way, listen to me. I don't mind helping you. But you know who ought to get a burden and get a vision for their area, their mission field? The missionary should. And if everybody in here starts getting that mentality, instead of how little can I do and still say I've got something to do, how... Can I do what I'm doing better, or what more can I do, or how can I see... Listen, let's try something. Let's try something. Let's do something. Hey, let's just see. Now, please, don't come to me afterwards and give me 45 ideas of what I could do. I don't want ideas of what I can do. I want you to come ideas for what you can do. What you can do. What you can pull off, you see. And I mean that. Everybody's good about coming up and telling the preacher one more thing if he'd just do it. That might, no, no, that's no, no. I want you to be a missionary. All right? Look around here in the last year. I spent a lot of time thinking about how to reach unreached groups. I'm already doing a lot of extra things I wasn't doing a year ago. You get the same mentality. You get the same drive. You decide that you're going to make an impact on for the Lord Jesus Christ. What can you do? What can you do? Do you have a mission field? Do you have a mission field? Where is it? Who is it? How are you going to reach them? What are you going to do about it? How are you going to expand it? Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? And I think it would please the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless. Lord, I feel like I've done more teaching and maybe training than I have preaching tonight, but I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to reach the unreached for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would inspire. The Bible says in the text we read that Paul, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to adultery. And Lord, I know exactly what that verse is talking about. I have stood many times in the mission field that you had me at that particular time in my life, and had my soul, my spirit stirred within me. Lord, I pray that you'd do that in the hearts of our people. Stir those who do not have a mission field to find a mission field. And those that are on the mission field already, help them to be stirred again. Stir them again to do more than they've ever done before to try to reach the people that you've given them to reach. And I pray, Lord, that we'll hit that 100 mark, that we'll have 100 missionaries. Not that traveled through and got support in some other country, but 100 missionaries coming out of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. 100 missionaries. That if I was to walk up to them and said, "Where's your mission field?" they'd say, without a second's hesitation, "This is my mission field." And I pray, Lord, that you'd, Lord, give us the heart of Jesus Christ when he sat over the top of Jerusalem and wept over it. The heart of Paul when he sat there in Athens and his spirit was stirred in him. Give us a burden, a vision to reach a group of people